الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله في العالمين الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البدقاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطه أرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صلوات We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing yet another blessing upon us to be alive and benefit from this divine invitation to be guests of Allah in this holy month, which is the month of Rahmat and the month of revelation and the month of Istighfar and the month of Quran and the month of turning back towards Allah. Shahrul Inaba. Inaba means turning back. We find in the Sawabul A'mal, famous book of Sheikh Saduq Rahmatullah Alayhi, where he narrates this hadith from Imam Al-Baqir Alayhi Salaam, saying that لما حضر شهر رمضان وذلك في ثلاث بقينا من شعبان ثلاث بقينا من شعبان When month of Ramadan came and that was 3 days remaining from the month of Sha'ban, Prophet said to Bilal to announce among the people and gather the people. And ثم صعد المنبر Prophet went on the minbar فحمد الله وأثنى عليه He did the praise and sana of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then he said أيها الناس O the people إن هذا الشهر قد حضركم وهو سيد الشهور This month that has arrived is in other words the leader of all the months وَلَيْلَةٌ فِيهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْفِشَاهِ And a night in it is better than 1,000 months. تُغْلَقُ فِيهِ أَبْوَابُ النِّيرَانِ The doors of the hell are shut in this month. وَتُفْتَحُ فِيهِ أَبْوَابُ الْجِنَانِ And the doors of the heaven are opened in this month. So we have 7 doors of the hellfire, isn't it right? And 8 doors of the Jannah in paradise. So the 8 doors of paradise are open and 7 doors of hell are shut. But this is something which is specific to the month of Ramadan. That's not in the hadith I'm explaining to you. So one of the specific attributes of the month of Ramadan, that is the only month in the entire year when the doors of heaven are open and the doors of hellfire are shut. What does it mean, doors of hellfire shut? It means that basically that's yet another opportunity for a woman not to enter the hellfire. Because the doors are shut, isn't that right? So every avenue is open to get benefit from the mercy. And the best way of getting benefit from the mercy is towards the hukukullah. We have two kinds of actions, isn't it right? We have hukukullah and hukukun nas. Towards the hukukullah, the best way of seeking the mercy is istighfar. Towards the hukukun nas, the best way of seeking mercy is to forgive others. If we start forgiving others, that's where we can expect others forgiving us. And some people have hikmalina. You know, they have their hidden hatreds in their heart towards the mu'mineen. In Islam, there is no room for a mu'min to have a hidden hatred inside the heart towards another mu'min person who believes in the walayat of 12 imams and does not support any taghut. That's the definition of a mu'min, isn't it right? If a mu'min who is born to Shia family starts supporting the Yazid, I'm not going to call him a supporter of Imam Hussein. Even though billions of humans come and bear witness in front of me, no, he's born to a Shia family, he's a mu'min too. Well, if he's a mu'min, then why is he supporting Yazid? So a mu'min, in the simplest possible definition, is defined with zero ambiguity definition, is defined a person who supports the walayat of the 12 imams and does not support and butter up any taghut in his life. If you find that kind of mu'mineen around you, we are not supposed to have hatred towards them. Even if we have fights, conflicts, you know, disagreements, we should not have a heart feeling and hatreds towards them. We should be basically open, always open to resolve the disputes, have mercy on them so that Allah has mercy over us. Huwa sayyidu shuhur wa laylatun fihi khairun min alf shahr, and then tughlaqu fihi abwabun niran. In the month of Ramadan, doors of hell are shut. Wa tuftahu fihi abwabul jinan, and the doors of paradise are open in this month. And then Prophet mentions three great points which are a lesson for us to remember for the rest of our lives, although everything of his is a lesson for us to remember. First point that he made, Prophet said that وَمَنْ أَدْرَكَ وَالِدَيْهِ فَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ فَأَبْعَدَهُ اللَّهُ. Whoever has a chance, whoever had his parents, whoever had the opportunity to find his parents alive in his life, in other words, to serve them, but he still could not get forgiven. I have 1,000 sins, I'm talking about myself, isn't it right? 1,000 faults and 1,000 sins in my personality. I want my sins to be forgiven by Allah. The best way for my sins to get forgiven is to serve my parents. Whoever has the opportunity, he has his parents, but he still couldn't get forgiven, you know, Allah will make him away. Making him away means making him away from his endless, limitless mercy. That means there is zero hope for his forgiveness. A person who finds his parents but still could not get forgiven, he cannot be forgiven basically, and cannot deserve to get the rahmat of Allah because he is ba'id. Allah will make him ba'id and away from him. Point number two, وَمَنْ أَدْرَكَ Prophet said, فَمَنْ أَدْرَكَهُ فَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ فَأَبْعَدَهُ اللَّهُ. Actually, I mentioned the second point first, and now I'm mentioning the first point. Whoever finds the month of Ramadan, but he still couldn't get forgiven, Allah will make him away. Whoever has the opportunity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to find another month of Ramadan in his life, but he still couldn't get the maghfirah, still couldn't get forgiven from Allah. He had the month of Ramadan, but he still couldn't get forgiven. His sins are still there. So So he departs the month of Ramadan with the sins remaining in his back. This kind of person who found the month of Ramadan, but he still couldn't get the forgiveness, Allah will make him away. Third point the Prophet mentioned is that man zukirtu indahu, whomsoever I am mentioned in front of him, وَلَمْ يُصَلِّ عَلَيَّ, and he did not send salawat on me, فَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ, and he is not forgiven, Allah will make him away. So we also understand in the light of this statement that sending salawat on the Holy Prophet is one of the best tools to get the forgiveness from Allah. Isn't it right? Because when Prophet went on Mi'raj, he discovered an angel whose wings got burnt. Angels are infallible, they don't do sins, isn't it right? So, but he did tarkul awla, something which was better to be avoided. He did not avoid. Allah holds the close servants accountable faster than those who are far away from him. So angels are close to Allah. They are infallible. Isn't it right? Allah held accountable even for something which is not a sin. As tarkul awla. So Allah, he delayed in the punishment of someone or some nation. Allah sent him to a nation to punish that person or nation, and this angel delayed for a while. Not that he disobeyed, he delayed. That's not tolerable for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah burnt down his wings, and that he was lying there somewhere, and Prophet saw him, and on the occasion of Mi'raj and ascension, and he inquired, and the Prophet was told about the incident. Then Prophet is Rahmatun lil Alameen, he is the mercy for the whole universe, isn't it right? Prophet said, is there a way for a tawbah of this angel? In other words, and Prophet was told that the tawbah of this angel is that he sends salawat on you 10 times. The angel said the salawat 10 times on the Prophet, and he regained his wings back, and it was a huge celebration in the heaven. Huge celebration in the heaven. That, what a great messenger. If an angel belonging to the heaven sends salawat on him 10 times, his fault is forgiven by Allah. What a great messenger. Can you imagine the azamat and greatness of Rasulullah? With some people end up buttering up the taghut in front of the hukum of the insulter, you know, insulting the Holy Prophet. And they start complaining against Imam Khomeini, isn't that right? Instead of complaining the insulter, they complain against the one who is defending the Prophet. And then they claim to be Shias. Look at the irony. How ignorant they are. Islam is a religion of peace. We promote love. We are the biggest promoters of love on the face of earth. But we are the victims of insults. Isn't it right? Insults after insults. And we have a right to defend. So, as I always do on the first nights of the month of Ramadan, inshallah, from tomorrow night onwards, we have a different subject. But as my Islamic duty and fariza, I hold myself accountable to inform everyone, especially our youth, about the basic rulings of the fastings as a fariza to refresh and recall and get reminded. Fasting is one of the greatest wajibs of Islam, and one of those wajibs of Islam which are shared between our nation and the previous nations. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam, fasting was made a fariza on you, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, the way it was made a fariza on those who were before you. La'allakum tattaqoon, maybe you become muttaqi. So there's an ihtimal, there's a probability we may end up, if we seek fasting for the sake of the rida and pleasure of Allah, not only abstaining from the food and the drinks, but abstaining from the harams. So we have our hands fasting. We don't abuse the hand and do harams with the hand. We have our feet fasting. We don't walk to places where Allah made haram to go. In the name of freedom, I walk to those places, you know. If I feel like going and doing, I just do it because I feel like doing it. Isn't it right? That's how they say. So I have to stop my feet from doing the harams because I want my feet to be having a share in the fasting as well. Isn't that right? So we don't go to places where harams are committed, and we need to have our eyes fasting. We don't see things that are haram to see. We have our ears fasting. We don't listen to ghibat and tuhmat and all the rest of the harams related to the ears. So have our ears fasting as well. We have our minds fasting as well. So we don't even think, preferably, we don't even think about those of the sins which can be in the minds, like the hasad, envy towards a fellow mu'min brother, and bughd, hatred and enmity towards the mu'min brothers and those who love the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. So nine mubtilat are there for fasting. We all should always keep in our minds. First of all, eating and drinking. If you eat something or drink something by mistake, that's not going to invalidate your fast. If you eat something intentionally or drink something intentionally, obviously the fast is broken. And that includes the ma'kulat and ghair ma'kulat, things which are eatable in Islam and things which are not considered to be eatable in Islam. If somebody starts eating a stone, soil, he can't say, well, I don't eat any food, soil is no food. Well, it doesn't matter, it's food or no food, anything which is eatable or non-eatable. If you eat anything, your fast is broken. So whether somebody eats a halal thing or haram thing, if somebody consume a haram thing like a soil, soil is tahir in Islam, turab, soil, khak, Farsi we say khak, isn't it? So that's halal, that's tahir and pak in Islam, but it is haram to consume except the soil of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So if somebody consumes it, whether it's halal or haram, anything, it breaks the fast. If you break your fast with something which is halal, you have one kafara to pay. If you break your fast with something that is haram, you have triple kafaras to pay. We call it kafaratul jama' in Arabic. Kafaras are as follows. You have to fast for 60 days. 31 days should be without gap. And rest of the 29 days can be with gaps. Second option, you have to give food to 60 mu'min, miskeen, destitute, broke, financially broke people. Not just anybody, but a mu'min and a miskeen. 60 mu'min, miskeen people should be fed. And third of all, setting free a slave, which is no longer there. Islam get rid of that evil of the society, so that is no longer there. So kafaratul jam means somebody who breaks the fast with a haram, he has to pay the triple penalty. He has to do all these three kafaras, isn't it right? And also, if you break your fast with something which is halal in Islam, you drink water. In addition to doing one of these three kafaras, you also have to do the qada, obviously, and the istighfar. That's also there for every sin. So don't consider that the qada is no longer there because you did the kafara. Well, kafara is kafara, but we do the qada of the missing of the fast. Now, second of all, the sexual relationship between husband and wife, that makes the fasting haram. And third of all, istimna, masturbating, that's haram in Islam. That is also a bigger sin and it invalidates the fast. Fourth of all is relating lies, fake information, fabricated narrations, fabricated statements, lies, slander towards the Prophet, one of the 12 Imams, Hazrat Fatima alayhima salam, or one of the previous other prophets of God, or one of their deputies. If somebody says, well, Hazrat Harun, the wasi of Prophet Musa, has said this and this and this in his hadith. He did not say that. That's a tohmat on Hazrat Harun alayhi salam. Your fast will break. So this is another practice for us to make ourselves familiar with the divine law, so we never end up misnarrating, misrepresenting, wrongfully saying something in the name of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in the name of Imam Ali alayhi salam, or any of the prophets. You know, some people narrate fabricated narrations in the name of the prophet, or the prophet has said actually in his own hadith, قَدْ كَثُرَتْ عَلَيَّ الْكِذَابَةِ وَسَتَكْثُرْ. That means a lot of the lies have been said upon me, and soon it will be furthermore, it will be more. I mean, more of the lies will be said about me. This is part of the hadith of Rasulullah, he informed us. So it's a very important that when you talk about the greatest personalities of Islam, you never misquote them, you never mention any hadith. Even if somebody else is mentioning a hadith in front of you and you know it's authentic, don't say yes, don't move your head like this, which in the eyes of Urf is a sign of you certifying what he's saying, and then it will be counted that you're breaking your fast, because you are certifying the wrong and fabrication of the person. So even by indication, by like moving your head like this, is equals to supporting the fake statement. So we can't do that. If somebody does that, he has to pay triple kafaras. One fabricated narration towards Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and you have to do triple kafaras plus the qaza and plus the istighfar. Fifth of all is allowing the dense and thick dust or the smoke to enter into your throat intentionally. If you're walking on the street and there's a smog, some car is, you know, making smog, or, you know, a lot of carbon monoxide and those kinds of gases, emissions, and you find there's smoke or cigarette smoking, some kind of smoke is there, you obviously should, or in the kitchen. Women are cooking food in the kitchen in the month of Ramadan. They must be careful. Sometimes we are cooking food which has a lot of, vapors coming out of the bowl. True, we open up their exhaust fans in the kitchen, but sometimes it's very slow. The whole kitchen is full of the vapors, isn't that right? That's one of the common examples where we need to be careful that the dust or smoke does not enter into our mouths. Sixth of all, taking your head completely inside water. Unintentionally, if your head goes inside water, that does not break your fast. But if you are in a swimming pool or in any pool and you intentionally immerse your head completely in the water, your fast will break. Seventh of all, remaining on the situation of janabat or hayd or nifas till the time of the adhan of fajr intentionally. If you happen to have one of those situations, then obviously we have to do the ghusl before the time of the fajr. We have to do the ghusl before the adhan of fajr. So we enter into the time of adhan of fajr in the condition of taharat and cleanliness. If somebody intentionally delays the ghusl of janabat or hayd or nifas, intentionally delays, and the time of fajr arrives, then he has to do qaza of this fast. He did a haram or she did a haram, and she has to now, or he has to do the qaza of this fast. You cannot fast with the ghusl wajib on you. You can't do that like this if you intentionally ignore it. Yeah, sometimes it is a person had one of those situations in the night. You have the wet dreams or something, ihtilam. And in Islam, well, it's not wajib to do the ghusl of janabat straight away. But we should be able to, we need to be sure and certain that we will wake up. If you are sure you're going to wake up after 15 minutes and you can do the ghusl safely, that's okay, you can go to sleep. It's not wajib to do the ghusl straight away. But if you are not sure you're going to wake up, then basically you are not supposed to sleep. If you are sure that you will wake up, you can go to sleep. You woke up again after a nap, and still there is a lot of time remaining. Islam says you can again go to sleep. If you are again sure you will wake up, you can again go to sleep. Again, you woke up after the second sleep. Islam says you cannot go to the third sleep. It's allowed to go to sleep two times after janabat, and you woke up two times after each sleep, each short nap. You cannot go to sleep for the third time. Even if you are sure you will wake up, you cannot go to sleep for the third time. Two sleeps is the limit. So intentionally remaining on this situation of janabat or hayd or nifas is haram, because it translates that you are intentionally ignoring your fast. You cannot fast in this situation. If you intentionally remain that you don't want, then it means you're not trying to fast then. Eighth of all, al-imala, tazriq and imala, with the wet things. And ninth of all is vomiting. So if somebody vomits intentionally, unintentional vomiting doesn't harm your fast. Intentionally vomiting will make your fast invalid. Now, it is also important to remember when we talk about vomiting that sometimes you sneeze. Or you burp sometimes, isn't it right? Or uzadan. Sometimes you burp, sometimes you sneeze, and something comes from your nose or from inside of your throat into your mouth. Whatever comes from your nose into your mouth, whatever comes from your halk, from your throat into your mouth, you cannot take it back into your mouth. If you take something back from the nose into the mouth, obviously this is going to invalidate your fast. And also, especially keeping in mind, when you burp, sometimes particles of food come in our mouth. Sometimes there is blood in the particles of food coming in our mouth. If you happen to take that, obviously you have to pay triple penalties, because eating blood is haram in Islam. So now you are breaking your fast with a haram. You know, retaking the particles of food that has blood in it is haram. So now you're breaking a fast with something that is haram. So, so we find in some of the cases in Islam, the time is already out, I think, but I will very quickly mention this thing that three of the very common scenarios before I end the speech, because the time of speech has already expired. One very common scenario is that if you eat, somebody says, hey, it's not the time of Fajr yet, and you continue to eat in the Sahar, and then after you ate, then you realize it was the time of Adhan of Fajr already. So in that case, if you ate, if you ate because you thought that if you didn't do the tahqiq and research that the time of Fajr has arrived and you start eating food, obviously you have to do the qada of this fasting. Likewise, the second scenario is that if somebody says that the time of Fajr is not there yet, and you rely upon what somebody says and you eat food or something, obviously you have to do qada. Likewise, the third possible scenario is that if somebody says that it is the time of Fajr, and you thought that, well, this guy is joking, and you still continue to eat food, later on you realize it was the time of Fajr, If somebody has said to you there is the time of Fajr, and you thought the person is joking, and you continue to eat food, and later on you realize that he was telling the truth, the time of Fajr has actually started, and you were not supposed to eat food, in that case also you have to do the qada of that fasting. So the bottom line, the principle is that before you continue to eat food in the morning, or before you break your fast at the time of the iftar, do the tahqiq, do the research. Don't just rely on just anyone saying something, you know, this is not a good idea. You have to do tahqiq and you have to yaqeen about what you are doing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to benefit from the endless blessings of Allah in this greatest month of the Islamic calendar year, and the only month which is mentioned in the Holy Quran. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wa al-Muslimin. Waqtul al-Kuffar wa al-Munafiqin. Allahumma ansur man nasar al-Din. Waqtul man qadal al-Muslimin. اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.